Today, I want to talk to you about generosity. I'm praying that you will leverage your time and your talents, but also your treasure for the Lord. I pray that you will understand that God wants you to live a generous life. Dr. White has been leading us this semester in a series called Being Marked by Jesus. And today, I want to continue that anthem from the book of Malachi, from chapter 3, about being marked by generosity. I want you to know you need to read the whole counsel of God. Don't just read certain parts of the Bible. You know, you realize one day when you get to heaven, you're going to meet these people. And when you meet Malachi and you meet Habakkuk, they're going to ask you, how'd you like my book? And if you hadn't read the book, it's going to be an awkward day for you. You know what I mean? So read the whole counsel of God, and we're going to be in Malachi for the next few moments. But I want you to be marked by generosity. And I want you to understand, bless you, I want you to understand that all of us need to live generous lives. And I know the Captain Obvious moment. Well, Pastor Jeremy, I don't really have a lot of money. We're college students. Don't you understand where we are? I do understand. I've been a college student. I've been a college pastor. I get it. Some of you guys have like countdown clocks just waiting for, you know, White Christmas at the White's because you need some good food. You know what I mean? Like the reality is I know what it's like to be a student and not have a lot. But here's what people say. Here's what students oftentimes tell me. Well, one day when I get a good job, one day when I make a lot of money, one day when I get a house, I'll start giving. And that's actually complete opposite of what Jesus said. Jesus says, when you're faithful in little, then you'll be faithful in much. And we need to learn the disciplines of generosity now, right where we are, when we don't feel like we have a lot of money, when we kind of reach in our pocket and nothing's really there. But that's really the true test and mark. The reality is we need to read the whole counsel of God and obey all the counsel of God. Dr. Al Mohler, several years ago, said he believed that nearly half the students who walk on seminary campuses today have never read the Bible from cover to cover. And unfortunately, sometimes the topic of generosity gets lost into our spiritual disciplines. We're all making a list for Christmas. I want to give you an idea of how you can get what you want for Christmas today. We all got our list. We're all getting ready to leave campus and go home and be with our family, and they're asking us what we want for Christmas. I saw this story, and I thought you'd like this. This is an idea. There was a little boy who wanted a certain bike for Christmas, so he goes to his mom and says, Mom, this is what I want for Christmas. I want this really nice bike. So the mom, a good godly mom, has a little Jesus juke and says, well, you need to talk to Jesus and write Jesus a letter about the bike that you want and ask him. So he sits down and he writes a letter and he says, Dear Jesus, I want this really nice bike. And if you give me this bike, I will not sin for an entire year. So he goes down to the mailbox in the street. He goes to put it in there and he goes, man, there's no way I can do that. I got a sister. There's no way. Like, I'm going to beat her up. I can't go an hour without sinning. So he goes, he runs back upstairs, he rewrites the letter, and it says, Dear Jesus, if you give me the bike that I really, really want, I won't sin for 6 months. 6 months. Goes down to the post office. He says, There's no way. There's no way I can actually do this. He sees a statue of the Virgin Mary next door in his neighbor's yard. He goes to that neighbor's yard and he puts Virgin Mary under his coat, tucks it in like he's taking it away, runs back upstairs and rewrites the letter. And he says, Dear Jesus, if you ever want to see your mother again, this is the bike that I want for Christmas. So I don't know what your plans are to get what you want, but talk to the Lord about it. But don't steal his mother. The reality is God owns everything. Psalm 24 says, God does not need our money. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. And the reality is this morning is God does not want anything from you. He wants something for you. He wants you to be marked by generosity. Actually, faith and finances go together. That's why I love finance so much, because even in my role as leading our state convention and handling millions of dollars, faith and finances go together. And oftentimes in the church, people try to separate it. But actually, Jesus, did you know that Jesus talked more about money than he did heaven and hell combined? That's how important this subject is. By the way, just for fun, before we get to our text, do you know one out of every 10 verses in the New Testament deal with finances? How you secure it, how you save it, how you spend it, and how you share it. Think about that. Jesus actually tithed the New Testament by talking about money so much. It's important to understand that. Malachi chapter 3 is going to be our text this morning. I'm going to read from verses 6 through 12, and I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's holy, inerrant, infallible, and inspired word. God's word says, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, O children of Jacob, you're not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, well, how shall we return? Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you in your tithes and your contributions and offerings? You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts." One of the only places, not the only place in the word of God where he says, put me to the test. "And see if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour out a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil. And your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. And the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts." May the Lord bless the honor of his word. You may be seated. Three things I want to share with you about generosity. One, God expects it. God expects us to be generous. God does not change, and he wants us to live generous lives. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, I'm going to walk you through quickly some of the patterns of the Old and New Testament. Number one, Abraham commenced it. In Genesis chapter 14, you'll see the Bible says, "And Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of the God Most High, and he blessed him and said, 'Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand.'" And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. So right here, you see in the Old Testament, the pattern. So what happens, I don't have time to get into a four-hour Theo Bro conversation here in chapel, all right? Many people try to talk about Melchizedek. Some say he was a Christophany. Some say he was a type of Christ. You read Psalm 110, you read Matthew 22, the Messianic Psalms. You can have your own debate around coffee all you want. But I know this, is that here, very clearly, he is a picture of Christ in the Old Testament. Whether he's a Christophany, whether he's a type of Christ, I'll leave that to you and the professors. All I know is this, is that he appears in the Old Testament in a powerful way here in Genesis 14. And Abram goes out and he wins a battle, maybe that he shouldn't have won. And he recognizes without God, he couldn't have done anything. And by the way, that's a good reminder for all of us in the room today and all of you watching online. The Bible says, "What apart from Christ, you can do what? Nothing. But through Christ, you can do what? All things." You can't do anything kingdom-wise without the Lord's help. He recognizes this, and the Bible says that Abraham kind of started this train of generosity in the Old Testament, and he makes it very clear. He commenced it, and his response was everything that he had received from battle, he gave back to Melchizedek, a picture of Christ, a picture of the Lord. He says, you get a tenth of all of this. So the reality is, we talk about a tenth. I'm talking about for every dollar you make. How many of you work on campus? So you got some income, right? Panda, right? All that different stuff. You've got income doing certain different things. When every dollar you get, then here's what we're talking about. What? 10 cents of that is to go back to the Lord. Oftentimes people say to me, well, Pastor Jeremy, do you tithe off the gross or do you tithe off the net? Well, whichever part you want to get blessed on. That's what I say. But every dollar you make, 10% of that belongs to the Lord. And sometimes people will say, well, do you mean that I have to give 10%? No, you get to keep 90. That's the perspective you gotta have. Abraham commenced it here in Genesis 14, then continue. Jacob continued it in Genesis 28. Verses 20 through 22, Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and give me bread to eat and clothing to wear so that I may come again to my father's house in peace and the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set up for you as a pillar shall be God's house. And Jacob says in Genesis 28, and of all that you give me, I will give a full tenth back to you. So you see the pattern here in the Old Testament. You see that Abraham kind of commenced it and he started it, and then Jacob continued it. Well, Moses goes further and he actually commands it. In Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, every tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's, and it is holy to the Lord. So Moses continues this. So Abraham commences and starts it. Jacob continues it. Moses actually commands it. And then Jesus commended it. Oftentimes people say, well, all in the New Testament, it really doesn't matter about how much you give. All that tithe stuff, that's Old Testament. That's left side stuff. Not exactly. In Matthew 23:23, Jesus says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. So Jesus continues to commend generosity and tithing and giving. So here we see very clearly, living generous is part of our spiritual disciplines, not just with our time and not just with our talents, but also our treasures. As we're on this campus, as we're working part-time jobs, you might be a professor, you may be a leader here at this university, and you have a full-time salary. It doesn't really matter about the number that you make. What matters is the heart. Are you living generous lives? Are you being faithful in the small things when you're making minimum wage, when you don't have a lot of money? Are you living generously? Why? Because God expects it. Nowhere in the Old Testament and New Testament does it say, well, once you reach, you know, like a certain threshold, then you start giving, right? There's no IRS in heaven, praise God. You know what I mean? Like, there's no threshold. The moment you start receiving anything, the response is you should want to give back. See, the reality is the gospel came to us. You know what the gospel is? It's one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Somebody loved you enough to tell you about Jesus. Someone cared about you enough to tell you the truth that you can't save yourself and that Jesus Christ came and died for you and wants to save you. The reality is, if we experience grace, how could we not want to give back? Yeah, we're not Abram. We're not going to war, right? And we're not getting all this stuff. But the reality is we have received the gospel. And even though we may not be millionaires right now, we're rich in Christ and we're rich in eternity. And that money you have in your account doesn't belong to you, whether it's $20 or $200 or $2,000. That money is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. God expects us to give. Acts 20, in all things I've shown you, about working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to do what? Receive. In our economy, in our culture, man, we love to receive. It's Christmas time, right? We're ready to go home and tell our mom and dad all the things that we want for, you know, for campus, for school next semester, our wish list, all the things that we think that we need, maybe we don't always need. By the way, God's always promised to meet your need, not always promised to meet your greed. Remember that. He will always take care of you. You may not get everything that you want, but you'll get everything that you need. The Lord will take care of you. God ordained generosity. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13 and 14. Do you not know that those who are employed in the temple service get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in the sacrificial offerings? In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. And the reality is when you go to a local church, I hope everybody here, you're part of a local church. And when you go to a local church, you have pastors on staff. That's how they actually live and they get paid, is by when you leverage your career and your job one day and you give generously back to the local church. That's how they eat. That's how they provide for their families. So you may be here and you may go be a part of a church. You say, well, I may not be the pastor or the church planter. That's awesome. You're needed in the local church to use your gifts and your time and talents, but also your treasures. Because when you tithe into the local church, that's what boosts the staff and helps them do ministry and operations. I'm trying to get real practical here because I want you to see that what you do practically makes a difference in the local church and in missions, to be faithful and to be generous. Dr. Adrian Rogers said, to give less under grace is a disgrace to grace. He said, well, I live in the New Testament era. I don't have to give 10%. You're right, we should give more than 10%. If 10% was the standard under the law, how much more should we give under grace? Number two, God explains it. He says in verse 10, bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house and thereby put me to the test. God says to test them. One of the only places, if not the only place I see in the word of God where God says, put me to the test. He explains it. He says, I want you to give and I'll open the windows of heaven for you and I will pour it out. He says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse. Bring it into the local church and be faithful in generosity. 1 Corinthians 16:2 says, on the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so there will be no collecting when I come. The reality is we all want God to bless us. Who in here would say, just with honesty, you want God to bless you in your life and in your ministry? Who all would say, I want God to bless me? It's gonna be hard for God to bless you if you rob from him. Last time I checked, when you rob from somebody, that really doesn't go well. So if you want God to bless you, you need to honor him, and what he wants you to do is to be faithful and generous. Recent survey said only 42% of Christians in North America give to the local church. Only 5% of Christians give an actual true tithe to the local church, and 37% of church attenders in North America last year gave nothing to the local church. Let's be a generation that changes that. Let's be a student body that changes that. As you graduate and you stay here in Ohio, or you leave Ohio, or you go to the nations in the mission field, let's be a generation. Let's be marked by generosity. God wants and wants to provide for you. I didn't grow up with money. I didn't have money growing up. My dad left when I was 3, put me on the street and filed bankruptcy. I was rescued by my grandparents. I was the kid in youth group where people brought food out in the parking lot and gave it to me. I didn't grow up with a lot of money in my life. Every day I drive up to my home, I'm grateful every single day. God's provided every step of the way. It was 1 o'clock in the morning. I was 17 years old. I was throwing a paper route for my pastor. And I thought, man, how is God gonna provide for me for my first semester of college? And my pastor at 1 o'clock in the morning gave me a stack of papers and said, by the way, tonight at church, someone paid for your entire first semester. I went and got some coffee, amen. I was happy about that, I was excited. And every step of the way, all my degrees, God paid and take care of all of it. Even as a church planner, God took care of all of it. I've seen firsthand God's work in my life. Jesus said in Matthew 6, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. It's okay to have things, but here's the question, students, is do you have your possessions or do your possessions have you? It's okay to wanna grow. It's okay to wanna have a good salary. It's okay to wanna start a business. It's okay to wanna provide, but you gotta make sure that your possessions don't have you and you have them and you use them for kingdom purposes. You know, I've never met a happy, greedy person. And I've never met an unhappy, generous person. By the way, you don't have to be rich to be generous. You just have to be generous to be generous. And by the way, I've never missed anything I've given away. Live a generous life. Dare to be faithful and generous as you serve the Lord. Number three, God will exalt you when you're generous and faithful. Verses 11 and 12, I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts, and all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Martin Luther, the great reformer, said, I've held many things in my hands and I've lost them all. But whatever I've placed in God's hands, I still possess. He says, put everything, put all your hopes, all your dreams, all your vision, put everything in the Lord's hands. God wants all of you. He wants your time, he wants your talents, and he wants your treasure, but he wants you, students. He wants you. Over 40 years ago, a revival broke out on a college campus. And every single night, students were walking the aisle, giving their life to Christ, surrendering to full-time missions and ministry. And on the last night of the revival, a young man, a college student who had been born without legs, he took roller skates and he learned to tie them to the stumps of his legs, and he wheeled himself down the aisle on the last night of the invitation. He goes down and the pastor says, "Son, why have you come?" He goes, "Pastor, every single night I've watched my friends walk this aisle, and every single night I've watched them give their life to Christ and surrender to missions and surrender to ministry. And I have a question." He says, "What's your question?" He says, "Can God use half a man?" And that pastor's son said, "God can use half a man if he's fully surrendered. But I want you to understand something. God can't use a whole man if he's only halfway surrendered. Jesus Christ is not just your Savior, he is your Lord. And he deserves and he demands everything. And that includes your wallet." When I was a pastor and I used to baptize people in my church, I told them, "Bring your purse and your wallet. We're going to baptize everything in Jesus' name," all right? I wanted people to understand that it wasn't just them, it was also all of them, their stewardship side. God explains for us to do this. He actually exalts it when we do this. Put your time and talent and treasures all in the hands of the Lord. Giving breaks the bondage of greed, and it brings the blessings of God. It releases us from the bondage of greed, but we're rewarded for blessing, for giving. I want to make sure you understand this. Start somewhere. You say, "Well, man, I don't really do that right now." Well, start somewhere. Start giving something. Say, "I can't give 10%. Okay, start giving 2%. Start being generous, and you'll start to see God moving and honoring and blessing in your life. Give 2%. And then as the Lord increases, give 4%, then give 5%, and then start moving toward that 10% window and see and watch the Lord honor and bless your generosity and your finances. You may not get everything that you want. It doesn't mean if I start giving, right, as soon as I'm done and I start giving 10%, I'm on a shopping trip to Lulu. You know what I mean? That's not exactly how this is going to work out. It doesn't mean that you're going to walk out and get all this money and get new Beats and all that stuff. It just means you're faithful to the mission and God has your heart. It's not about money. It's about your heart. God wants you. Jesus says where your heart is, where your treasure is, there's going to be your heart. It's really what's down in the bucket that's going to come up in the well. The reality is, you got to understand, he doesn't just want your wallet, he wants you. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need my money. What he wants is you. God commands it. He expects it. He exalts it when we are generous. Start giving a percentage. Make it a priority. Before you pay yourself, pay it back to the Lord. Have progressive giving. Start moving in toward a generous model. One of the richest men in America was John D. Rockefeller. At the age of 53, Rockefeller was dying of stomach ulcers. He had 12 weeks to live. And somehow, he miraculously regained his strength, and he lived to be 98 years old. And on his deathbed, they asked him, "How in the world would you go from dying near death at 53 to live to be 98? He gave away 95% of his wealth. And they said, "What was your secret?" And his response was, "I can tell you in 4 words, I learned to give." Rockefeller said he learned to give. He's dying at 53. He's got stomach ulcers all through his body. He's one of the richest men, in the world. And he realizes, "I'm dying, and all this money I have really doesn't matter." It's like Billy Graham used to say, "I've never seen a hearse with a U-Haul behind it." You're taking nothing with you. You brought nothing in, you're taking nothing out. That's why you got to invest in the kingdom. It's the greatest ROI there is out there. The greatest return on your investment is by living a generous life. And right now, you need to learn the spiritual disciplines of being generous, of tithing, of giving, being a part of a local church and giving to the local church and giving to missions. One of the things that I love doing is stewarding about $10 million a year that comes through my desk in my office, all for missions. You know where it comes from? Individuals all throughout Ohio in our churches who are tithing. And then that church tithes, and they send a check to us, and then we take that and we send a check to the missions and to the missionaries and the mission boards and the seminaries to plant churches and support missions. Everything you do matters. And sometimes you may think, well, it doesn't really matter until I graduate. It doesn't really matter until I get a big job and I make a lot of money. No, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus says, be faithful now. Start now. Live generous now. God doesn't want part of you. He wants all of you. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for people being very generous. You are where you are by the grace of God and for the glory of God. You didn't get there by yourself. People lived generously and sacrificially gave to me to help me get where I am. And I will never forget that. Every single day, I think about the generosity of God and individuals in my life. Malachi here reminds us that giving and being generous is a biblical concept woven through the Old and the New Testament. God expects it. He explains it. And then he exalts it. Man, let's be a student body. Let's be believers who live generous lives. Let's not just give half of what we have to the Lord. Let's live fully surrendered and give everything back to him. Amen? Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit of God, help us to honor you with our wealth. Maybe we only got $200 to our name. Maybe we got a couple of $1,000 to our name. Teach us and remind us and show us that it doesn't really belong to us. It doesn't matter the zeros behind it. What matters is our heart toward it. And God, Malachi reminds us, Father, that you expect us to give. You even tell us and explain it, and you exalt it when we do that. Help us not to rob from you. Help us not to obey certain areas and not to obey all the areas of the spiritual disciplines in our life. Teach us that faith and finances go together. May this student body, may this generation be marked by generosity. This is not something that we tackle later in life. We tackle it now. We wrestle it to the ground now. We're faithful now because you have given everything for us. And if you could give us everything on the cross, then we're not gonna just in return serve you in our spare time and give you back our pocket change. Father, you deserve, you demand everything. Help us to live and to be marked by generosity. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. Have a great rest of your day.